What are you thankful for? Take a second to think. You got it? Okay, whatever it is, I bet it's not your ballpoint pen. But maybe it should be. It's an iHeart This mini episode this week, everybody. I'm Ben Lord. Let's talk about what we love. As a guy who's writing these days focuses on gratitude, I'm in the habit of asking a lot of people what they're thankful for. It's really a wonderful thing to make a habit of, and I recommend it to anyone. People's answers are often surprising, but there's a definite pattern to what people say, things that you can expect to hear over and over again. When asked in a big open-ended way like that, people can be expected to say things like their health and their families and good work and running water and electricity and a loving spouse or partner. Nobody yet has told me that they're grateful for ballpoint pens. But I am, and I think if more people knew about their awesomeness or thoughts about their benefits and the miracle of writing in general, they'd at least get honorable mention. Think about this. For pretty close to 99% of human time, 99%, nobody could send a note, make a list, or keep a journal. It simply was not possible. We just didn't have the tools. We lived in a world without writing at all. Think for a moment about the implications of this. If you can read and write, you are one of the fewer than 7% of all people ever who could. And it really is miraculous what that allows you to do. Yes, yes, yes. It allows us to capture more accurate records of what happened in the past that doesn't change or get eroded by the vagaries of memory. And also, yes, it allows us as a species to build on our knowledge over time and transmit it forward. These are absolutely stunning achievements, and I'm not making light of them. But these are the things that scholars always point out about the benefits of writing. I want you to turn your attention to what the ability to write does for you personally, concretely, on an everyday afternoon. You see, one of the fundamental problems of human thinking, and of human life in general, is that we can only think of 2 to 3 things at the same time. I mean, sure, we have a brain full of memories, and sure, we have a cacophony of sensory information bombarding us at any given moment, but our minds, or at least the parts of them that scientists call our working memory, are small. Go ahead. Try grocery shopping without a list. Go ahead. Try adding 957, 276, and 469 in your head. I bet you can't even remember the numbers themselves. But if you have a pen and a piece of paper, you have instantly become 100 times smarter. You can probably solve that problem in less than a minute. And that's not the only problem you can solve. What do angsty teenagers do when they can't handle the unrequited love, societal expectations, and raging hormones? Well, okay, some of them do drugs. But the ones that I know mostly write poetry. Whether our problems are mathematical or emotional, many of them are too big for our tiny minds unless we write them down, and suddenly even heartbreak feels more manageable. For my adult life, I have always kept journals and notebooks. I've written poems and books and essays in them, yes, but I've also written my way out of the vicious thought spirals of my own anxieties and occasional depressions. There's something about getting all that repetitive garbage in one place where I can see it all that helps me to diffuse it. And it is in my notebooks that I am most creative. I can capture quotes and ideas and questions and hold them up against each other as a kind of parallax of thought that makes new combinations stand out. For me, it is usually through writing that I know my own mind. Like I said before, there was no writing for 99% of all human time. We tend to think of writing as something that was invented at the dawn of civilization, and to some extent that's true. Indeed, we say that the advent of writing is the dawn of history. But even in the intervening 5,000 years since someone first started scratching cuneiform into the clay, almost nobody could write. a few scribes here, a few monks there, maybe some high-class aristocrats. In an age when people are used to thinking of information technology as all being electronic, it is easy to forget that the tools that it takes to write a grocery list took some 5,000 years to develop. Even just a few centuries ago, writing was an inaccessible, expensive, and time-consuming labor. And looking back at the history of writing, most of it was done in mud. And if you wanted to carry it somewhere, you had to turn whatever you wrote on into a brick. Later, people upgraded to parchment made of animal skins. And then a single page would have taken days of human work to make. Not to mention how many animals it would have taken to make a book. Making paper took centuries of innovation to be cost-effective, and it only became widespread in the 1400s. Inks were usually made from oak galls and rusted iron during the Middle Ages, and if you wanted any color but black, you'd pay dearly, and it might have to come from thousands of miles away. Those quill pens that the Harry Potter movies made look so romantic are a complete pain to work with. They drip ink everywhere, and you can only write a few letters before you need to dip it in the inkwell again. The metal-nibbed dip pens were worlds better, though still annoying. Fountain pens ingeniously put the ink inside the pen itself, and usually all over your hand, especially for those of us like me who are left-handed. The ballpoint pen wasn't invented until the 1930s, and it took 3 decades for the leaks and ball problems to get worked out and for them to become cheap enough to become what you and I write with today. So go to the drawer and get out your favorite pen and take a look at it. What did it cost you? Maybe a few dollars if it was a really nice one. Now go grab a sheet of paper. What did that cost you? Less than a cent, I'll wager. Each of those simple articles, each of them, the pen and the paper, was the cooperative labor of thousands of people across half the world. Now think of how many years it took you to learn to use those simple tools with the alacrity that you do. Until without a thought, you can capture any word that comes out of your head. Even hundreds, or maybe 1,000 of them in an hour. I have no shade to throw on those who prefer the keyboard. It is undoubtedly faster. But I will always love writing with a pen. I know exactly the one I want. It writes so smoothly, leaving a clear mark on the page with the slightest touch. And even though the mark is clear, the line is fine, less than half a millimeter wide. The bearing at its tip is so small I can barely see it. And with a pen in my hand, my writing is not confined to lines like it is in the word processor. My notebooks are full of charts and marginalia and arrows connecting thoughts across the page. And my pen flies at just the right speed, fast enough to capture it all, slow enough to force me to reflect. This simple set of tools, my inheritance of millennia of scholars before me, helping me with each scratch on the page to discover what I think and who I am. If this episode made you think differently about your pen, your paper, or the way you make sense of the world, please share it with someone who still keeps a notebook close at hand. Or better yet, write them a note telling them why you liked it. That is the way that this show grows, one thoughtful connection at a time. And if you're feeling especially generous, please take a second to leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. Other people only discover this show when someone else recommends it to them. And thanks. I Heart This is written, edited, and produced by me, Ben Lord. Our logo was designed by Brian Imaro Cribbs. Our website is iheartthispodcast.com, and you can email me at ben@iheartthispodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, be kind, be curious, and be thankful.